And God is able to do so much through prayer if we only believe Him. In Matthew chapter 6, and just let me just, before I begin, just show you from just chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, and it says this: "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Just to give you a way of background, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is dealing with man and his relationship with man. And then we have some verses like in chapter 5, you have some verses like love your enemies, some verses like keep your eyes on your own wife, amen. He that looked at a woman committed adultery, and you have man's relationship with man. But in Matthew chapter 6, the very first verse starts off and says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." And the idea here is he's focusing in on prayer, on things that are done secret, amen, and then the reward is open. Open. And there's some other verses here where it talks about, in verses 5 and 6 we read about prayer, but there's other verses where it talks about, in verse 16, it says, "Moreover, when thou fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face." It's not supposed to be for some outward show, it's for something inward, amen. And that's what prayer is. That's what the prayer closet is. It's something you do in secret, and God will reward thee openly. And that's God's promise of the very word of God. I believe, you know, prayer revival is great, amen. It's a wonderful thing. But if all we have is you know, we like every so often we're doing fine in our prayer, and this revival comes around, and we have a real high point in our life. But if all we have after this is we come down off that high point, we haven't had revival, amen. And prayer revival begins with a personal revival in me. I love that song that says, "Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival, and let it begin with me." Amen. It needs to begin with me. It needs to begin with you. Amen. And that's what prayer revival is. That's what the closet is. The closet is. Amen. The prayer closet is something that is very misunderstood. It shouldn't be considered a duty. It should be considered a privilege, amen, a privilege. We have a high priest, Jesus the high priest, who's gone into the temple in heaven. He's applied the blood on the mercy seat, and we have access because of that this day. It is a privilege, amen. It should be considered a privilege. It actually can be the sweetest time of fellowship you can ever possibly imagine. I remember hearing that, you know, there's basically two tastes of heaven upon earth. One is the family. It talks about it, the family, the home. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, it talks about the family as a taste of heaven. And you know, when you walk in here, when I heard Gina singing or playing the hymn, it was just tuning my heart towards heaven as I heard the hymns. And as I began to hear the music play, I forget what song it was, but it just tuned my heart towards heaven. And church is also a taste of heaven, amen. Church is also supposed to be a taste of heaven. But I found one more. I believe there's one more taste of heaven. And that's the prayer closet, amen. That's the prayer closet. If you really take it seriously, amen, and you really get to the place where you want God to show up, and you expect God to show up, and God will show up, amen. He will show up. I was thinking of this, you know, it's supposed to be the sweetest time of fellowship. In the Old Testament, the high priest used to go in to the temple, first the outer court, and there, first of all, there was the brazen altar, and that was a bloody brazen altar, amen. A sacrifice continually went up towards God. But after he got past the brazen altar was the brazen laver, and there he saw his reflection, and there he had to wash himself and clean himself again as he approached the tabernacle itself. And then when he got into the tabernacle, the candles The bright light just showed him just every flaw that he had. But then once he got past all that, he got to the place where he could ignite the incense against the coal, and that was a sweet fragrance, amen. That was sweetness there. And that's the idea of prayer. As we go in, first of all, we go in and God is dealing with us, amen. Wouldn't you agree? You get on your knees and say you have a busy day and you feel like all the cares of this world are upon you, and you get to the place of prayer and you get to the place and you try to pray, and like there's like a wall there. There's like something stopping you. But you have to be able to get beyond that wall, amen. And you've got to be able to get to the place of prayer, because that's the sweetest place you'll ever find, amen. The sweetest place you'll ever find. If you'd only believe that. It's a place of prayer, amen. The sweetest place you'll ever find. Two things you need to do and nurture that relationship. Let me just pray, ask the Lord to help us. Father God, I pray that you'd help us this day. Father, I pray just in the stillness of this time, please help me, Lord. Just hide me and put me behind, Lord. Just use me, God, I pray. Please help us. And we ask this in Jesus' precious, lovely name. Amen. Two things you need to do to nurture your relationship with the Lord. One is the Word. Amen. I want to emphasize this, the Word. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 in your Bible. One is the Word. One essential ingredient to grow as a Christian is the Word of God. Amen. You need the Word. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the Word, that he may grow thereby. Amen. See, when you come to church, you're not... The church, the preaching on a Sunday, and all these prayer revivals, things like that, they're just to help us along, amen. We're supposed to have a personal walk with the Lord and a personal reading of the Word on a daily basis, amen. If you don't have that, you'll harden your heart. You'll harden your heart and you'll find yourself becoming backslidden. You need the Word, amen. It's the most important thing. But there's one other thing you need as well. You go to Romans chapter 8. There's one other thing you need in your life to make that complete, amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, and it says this, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's a desire there. As a little baby develops, the first word usually a baby develops is what? Dada. Or maybe mama, depending. But usually dada. And that's just a natural instinct. As a child looks around, looks at this big world, and he cries, Dada. And that's just something in us. And the Holy Spirit is in us, and he's crying, Dada. And unless you get to the place where you're in your closet and you're praying, the Holy Spirit is grieved within you, amen? Grieved within you. You've got to realize that. The first thing you need is the Word, and secondly you need is the prayer closet, amen? The Word cleanses you. It says in John 15, verse 3, it says you are clean through the Word, amen? As you read the Word and as you apply the Word in your life. It renews you. It says in Colossians 3:10, it says, we put on the new man, which shall receive the knowledge after the image of him that created him. It talks about Romans 12, verse 1. It says, being transformed by the renewing of the mind, amen? Because you wake up in the morning and you are in the flesh. Believe me. I know from experience. And you've got to be able to transform that mind where you have the mind of Christ, amen? And then you can get to the place where you can have a productive day. But also the Word prepares you. The Word prepares you. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to know the Word prepares you. And that's why it's so important. You've got to have one, and you've got to have also the other. Hebrews chapter 4. Look how deep the Word goes in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And he says the word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discernment of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word goes deep, amen, because the issues of the heart go deep. Do you understand that? The issues of your heart are very deep. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then it says in verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, try the reins. I search the heart. And it goes on and talks about how the Lord wants to search that heart. Because we don't know our own heart. You don't know your own heart, and you will never know your own heart until you get to the place where you're in the closet and just you and God, amen, and there's nobody to impress but God, amen. And let me say this as well, that the other side of the coin is the prayer closet. The prayer closet changes you. It changed Jacob, amen, but the tragedy of Jacob's life is Jacob waited so many years before he got to that place. That's the tragedy of Christianity today. It usually takes disaster before we seek the Lord in the prayer closet. We usually play games and we usually don't seek him until everything is falling apart. And that is so sad. So there's got to be a place, there's got to be a priority list, and prayer closet comes first, amen. It comes first, amen. The prayer closet changes you, amen. It strengthens you. It says in Psalms 18, verse 1, it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Amen. And you get that strength when you come to him and seek it in prayer. And then it sweetens you. We call that hymnal the sweet hour of prayer. Amen. It's supposed to be sweet. Now, it's not always sweet getting there. It usually is hard. And the most rewarding times of prayer is when you don't feel like praying, but you pray anyway, and God takes you to a place where the sweetness comes back again. Amen? And it is a privilege. What a privilege we have, area of prayer. And then God begins to draw you closer. Go to James chapter 4 now. Go to your right in James chapter 4. God begins to draw you closer. But you first have to surrender, and you first have to submit yourself unto God. Amen? Hebrews or James chapter 4, verse 7 coming before verse 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double minded. And the idea is that if you take one foot towards or one step towards the Lord, God will make all the steps needed to come to you. Amen. Yeah, he is a precious God, and he wants to draw you closer, but he can only do that in the closet prayer life. Amen. In the closet prayer life. I've been reading about people who lived 100 years, like Spurgeon and people like that. And man, they had a prayer closet. And, you know, you read some of the quotes that they say in, about Spurgeon and people like that, and you go away ashamed. Because our prayer life is missing greatly today, and the prayer life is missing greatly, I believe. Amen. And it's the word that sets you apart. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And on the other hand, then, it's the prayer closet that sweetens the word. Amen. When you have a sweet prayer closet, then the word becomes sweet. Amen. And you see things you never would see if you didn't have a prayer closet. I truly believe that. The prayer closet allows the Holy Spirit to guide you in the Word. Amen. As you read it, and all of a sudden you see something, and God begins to show you something, and you get excited. Amen. Because it's fellowship with God, and then you come to the living Word, and he brings it alive. Amen. And that's what we need today. We need the prayer closet to make the book alive. Amen. In our lives. Too often we read the Bible, and we haven't prayed. And we haven't fervently prayed, and the Bible becomes just words on a page. Amen? Just becomes words on a page. So we need to be able to have the words, and we need to have the prayer closet focused in our life. Let me just talk about four things very, very quickly about the prayer closet in Matthew chapter 6 again, please. I'm sorry, Pastor, what time am I finished? 10 minutes. Okay. Matthew chapter 6. Just want to do four things about Matthew chapter 6 very, very briefly. First of all, the prayer closet is a scheduled place.
Amen.
Do you understand that? You're never going to have enough time. You're never going to make the time for God unless you make a priority list. Amen. Make it on the first of your priority list and have a scheduled place there. Amen. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest." We've got to make time, amen? You've got to make time for God. It is the most important time you will spend in the day, amen? It's the most important part of the day. Have a time. It says in Psalms 31, verse 5, it says, "My time is in your hands, Lord." And He's given you time. You better make time for the Lord. Because in Matthew chapter 6, and it's dealing with all these different areas, it says in Matthew 6 verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you." And that includes seeking Him first in your prayer closet. Amen. In your prayer closet. Because He wants to reward you. He wants to show you things. But if we don't spend time with Him, man, it just doesn't work. Sometimes we have to do, sometimes we have a to-do list, or we plan different things. And, you know, I'm going around to different churches now, so I'm doing a lot of planning lately. A planning book is so handy. And it's good to schedule things like that. But you better schedule the Lord, amen? You better make sure you put Him first, because He is priority, amen? And your time with Him. You know, sometimes the reason you turn up for work is because you know you're going to get paid, amen? And the reason why we should seek the Lord is because we know He's a reward of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. The problem is we get too busy. And especially in this day and age, we get too busy. The hustle and bustle of this world, the technology, the entertainment of this world. And it's so contrary to the prayer closet. It is so opposite to the prayer closet. You know, if you could just get to the place where you prayed daily and you kept it up, and you just kept praying until... And sometimes it's dry. Sometimes you're praying. And sometimes it's not easy to pray. But when you pray through it, there's always a sweetness there. There's always a sweetness. There's always a time where you get up off your knees and you know you've been with the Lord and you're pleased. You're pleased to be in there. And we need to be able to get to a place where that happens in our life, where we never get too busy for the Lord. Amen. Because all this technology, it can be a hindrance to our walk with the Lord. And we need to have a scheduled place, amen. And Matthew, just looking at some highlights here, let's just look at the example of Jesus in Mark 1:28. Actually, don't go there. Mark 1:28 says, it's talking about the early ministry of Jesus, and it says, His fame had spread throughout all of Israel. But go to, instead, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I just want you to see something here about our Lord and about His prayer life. Luke chapter 6, verse 11. "And they were filled with madness, the Pharisees, and communed one with another, and that they might do to Jesus." But notice what Jesus does in verse 12. "And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." Amen. That's our Savior. That's our beloved Savior. Amen. He spent all night in prayer. And then the very next day, He has to make a very important decision. He has to pick the 12 disciples. I don't know about you, but I'd be getting a good night's sleep. I'd be trusting my flesh. Amen. But Jesus, no. He trusted the Lord. He trusted the Spirit of God. He didn't trust His flesh. He trusted the Lord. And He prayed all night in prayer. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's very convicting for me. Very convicting for me. And, you know, Jesus had a place of prayer. I hope you have a particular place that you can call your prayer closet. Amen. I hope there's a particular place. Just go very, very briefly to John chapter 18. I just want you to see Jesus' place of prayer here in John chapter 18. John chapter 18 in verse 2. This is after Jesus prays in John chapter 17. And then in chapter 18, verse 2, he's in the garden. And it says in verse 2, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples." There was a certain place where Jesus went, amen. And there ought to be a certain place where you go, amen. Maybe it's the side of your bed, or maybe it's a room in the house. But that's a special place where you meet with God, and when everything else fails, that's where you go, amen. There ought to be a place where you go. And it's special because the Lord shows up, amen. It's special because the Lord shows up. And have an to expect the Lord to show up, amen. And then, let me say secondly, have a solitary place. Hey, I love, and we love praying with one another, amen. We're supposed to, we love praying with one another. But there ought to be a time where I don't pray with my wife. I don't pray with my kids. I pray by myself, just me and God, amen. And that's what the closet is. You don't enter the closet with your family. You don't enter the closet with your family and your kids. You do that, but then you take time for yourself where it's just you and God, and you get on the level with God, amen. Let me show you, actually I won't, but Amos 3:3 says this. It says, "Can two walk together except they're agreed?" There has to be agreement. And when you get to the place where you're in agreement with God, then the peace starts coming, amen. And go to Romans chapter 8 very quickly. Romans chapter 8. So can two walk together except they be agreed? There has to be agreement. And notice how that is connected with verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." There's agreement going on there, amen. And when you get to that place, when you get to that place in the closet of your life, then you have agreement. And that's the solitary place. That's the place where you get alone with God, amen. Jesus got alone with God. There was times where Jesus got alone with God and he prayed. And he prayed. Hey, and then it says in Matthew chapter 6, it says, "Shut the door." I like that. Because you know what? It's not always easy to shut the door. Sometimes you shut the door and you bring the world in with you, don't you? You bring all the cares of this world in there with you. And you've got to get to the place where you begin to cast down those imaginations, those high things that exalt yourself against the knowledge of God, and get to the place where you pray fervently, amen? It's that important. A solitary place where you shut the door. It means shutting the world out, amen? Shutting the world out. And it's where you unload all your cares. And then, it's also a secret place. A secret place. It talks about in Judges, it talks about the parents of Samson, Manoah, he prays, and it says, God actually says, he says, I'm the God of the stuff. Let me just look at that very quickly. Judges. Judges chapter 13. I just want you to see one particular verse here. Verse 18. "And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" But you know, the God that is secret, he reveals himself in the secret place. Amen? That's where he will reveal himself. You know, when Elijah was talking to God, and he says, you know, "I'm not in the whirlwind. I'm in the still, small voice." And you got to get alone in the quietness of the time and just listen for the still, small voice of the Lord to turn up. Amen? And he will. He will. You know, I believe this. I believe too often we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And the tragedy is we don't realize it. We don't realize it. See, God is holy. He is a holy, holy, holy being. And we have to be careful that we search our hearts. We search our hearts. Because it is so easy to grieve a holy, holy God. And we have to be careful. Because in the prayer closet at times, that's when a deep cleansing takes place. Amen. Where you get before God and there's a restlessness in your spirit. And you realize, and God brings things to your mind. and you begin to deal with certain things. Amen. That's supposed to be the closet where God begins to deal with things. And then, let me say also, it's a rewarded place. Amen. It says in Matthew chapter 6, it says, He will reward thee openly. Hey, God keeps His promise. Amen. God keeps His promise. It says in Titus chapter 1, it says, He's a God that cannot lie. Amen. It says in Jeremiah 29:13, He says, And you shall seek Me and find Me and search with all your heart. And then it says, And I will be found of you. Amen. Because He's a God of His promise. Amen. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, And I will call unto Me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's a God that wants to reward His children. Amen. He's a God that wants to reward His children. And He wants to reward you beyond what you would think. Go to Deuteronomy very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter, just a few more scriptures and we'll be finished. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, it's actually 28 verse 2. It says, All these, talking about blessings and blessings of Mount Gerizim and cursings of Mount Ebal. And it says in verse 2, it says, All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Amen. Because God wants to bless His children. I like when it says that. Amen. God wants to bless His children. And it's just a natural. If you pray in the closet and you really mean business with God, God begins to show Himself and He begins to reveal Himself and He does it and He says He will reward thee openly, amen. That is the prayer closet. The prayer closet is one of our greatest privileges, amen. We'll just wrap up here in 5 minutes. One of our greatest privilege, but it's the most neglected privilege of this day and age. I believe when we get to heaven, the greatest grief we will have is the fact we didn't pray. We will realize just how privileged we were to be able to pray, and we realize we didn't spend that time in prayer. And that will be the tragedy for all eternity, realizing, man, I wish I could just get that time back again. Amen. Get to the closet and just see, well, just taste of heaven, amen. It needs to be, though, it needs to be a scheduled time. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen when you put your mind to it, amen. And when you focus and say, this is going to be a scheduled place in my life. And it needs to be a place where I get alone with God, amen. Just me and God, that's all, amen. And then it must be a secret place, amen. You don't go bragging about it. It has to be a secret place where you spend time with God. And the only audience you had was God. And that's when you get on the level with God, amen. And then it needs to be a place where it's going to be a rewarded place where God rewards you. The prayer revival is great, amen. But I just don't want this prayer revival to start and be finished and go back to my old self. I want something that will continue and that will continue and continue into the future. And that's where the prayer closet comes in, amen. That's where the prayer closet comes in. Hey, do you have a place? Do you have a particular place where you get along with God? Jesus had a place. Daniel had a place. I could name a few more prophets of the Old Testament who had places. But do you have a place where you get along with God? Is it a particular place? Maybe it's the side of your bed, or maybe it's a certain room in the house. That's your special place. That's your blessed place. Amen. Do you have a place? Have you fit that into your schedule? Is there a place where you just yearn to get alone with God and where you pray and you know from past experience God is showing up, amen. That's the prayer closet, amen. Thank you, Pastor.